The National Catholic Register is the essential and reliable source of news and views for Catholics. Subscribe today. Go to EWTN.com and click on the link for The Register or call 800-421-3230.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Tim Drake will be interviewing Edward Penton, the Register's Rome correspondent, about Pope Benedict XVI's trip to Germany last week. And in the second half of our show, the Register's Dan Burke will be turning the tables on Tim, talking about Tim's blog post about the press's treatment of the Pope. Welcome to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. And, of course, our good buddy Tim Drake, senior writer for The Register. Hello there, Tim.
Hello there. How are you?
Good. Blessed to be here again on Register Radio. And, you know, Tim, I'm looking forward to hearing from our first guest, Edward Penton. Along with Rome, he's also keeping an eye on all things Vatican, right?
That's right. Edward Penton has been working as the Rome correspondent for the National Catholic Register. Before coming to The Register, he worked with Vatican Radio. And in addition to writing for the Register, he's also one of our bloggers. And so very happy to have Edward with us from Rome today. Thanks for joining us, Edward.
Hi, good to be with you.
So, Edward, this was the Pope's third trip home to Germany. And I'm curious, first of all, what made this trip different?
Right. Well, first of all, it was an official state visit. So that was the main difference of this visit to his other two, which were, his other two was to Cologne for World Youth Day in 2005, and then he went to Bavaria, his native part of Germany, in 2006. So this was a much more formal event. Also what made it different is that he was traveling to predominantly Protestant and really quite a now secular part of Germany. So that was another challenge for him. And also he spent quite a bit of time in the former atheist communist regions of Germany called Erfurt and Eichsfeld. These were parts of Germany where there's a very small Catholic community, really an enclave there, which managed to keep the faith there and were loyal to the Church despite all the, first of all, Nazism and then atheist communism. So these were quite big challenges for him, and that's what made it really quite a different visit to Germany than he's experienced before. The other point, of course, is that there's been the sexual abuse crisis in Germany, which has hit it quite hard. So that was another difficult obstacle we had to contend with, another challenge. And then again, there were the protests, at least hyped up protests by the press, but before the visit. So these were all aspects of it which made his visit to Germany really quite different to the other two.
Sure. There was a lot made in the press, in particular about the boycott by members of the German Bundestag. Why was it that members of the government were protesting, and what actually became of that? I think I ended up reading that in the end, the Pope ended up receiving a standing ovation for that address, didn't he?
That's right. I mean, he even was very warmly received when he arrived in the hall, and after his speech, which was a very impressive speech, by even his opponent's evaluation was impressive. They gave him a kind of 2 minutes, I think it was up to 2 minutes, standing ovation at the end. So yes, it went down very well. The protests against his address there were really on the basis that they felt the Pope, speaking of the German Parliament, was a violation of the Constitution, which demands separation between church and state. And so that was their gripe, as it were, because of the address. So 50 parliamentarians actually boycotted the speech, and one walked out while he was giving the speech. But that was less than the 100 which were expected. So all in all, it was a much more successful, really very surprisingly successful address to the Bundestag than was predicted.
During his trip, you know, the thing that I find remarkable about Pope Benedict XVI is that he's not in some ways a soundbite pope. You really have to take a look at the addresses and read through them, and they're very substantial. And during his trip, he also met with Lutheran leaders in Erfurt, he met with Muslim leaders, with Jewish leaders, Orthodox leaders. all separately, didn't he?
That's right, he did. I mean, it was a very intense four-day visit. He gave 17 speeches over the 4 days, and he addressed each of these individually. The Lutherans were the first, sorry, the Muslims, and the Jewish communities of Germany were the first, and they all those speeches went down very well. There was a little bit of controversy regarding the Lutheran address in that they were expecting some sort of ecumenical gift. It was what they were expecting and what was reported ahead of the speech, which he didn't actually provide. But then he did say that, you know, there was a lot of talk about coming together on common values and working together to bring Christ to Germany and through ecumenical dialogue. So it depends. I mean, some people I spoke to were upset, some weren't upset by that speech, but certainly the ones to the Muslims and the Jews and the Orthodox leaders went down very well indeed. They saw him as very friendly and very warm and someone who really they can do dialogue with. So all in all, those were very successful meetings.
I would say, Edward, as a former Lutheran, I was very impressed by the that speech because he really concentrated on Luther's preoccupation with grace. And I thought that was really a brilliant way to frame that address.
Yes, yes. I mean, he has a lot of sympathy, as you probably know, Tim, with the Lutheran Church. And obviously growing up in the land of Luther, as they call it, he does know very well what Lutheranism is about. And he has a certain, I think in the speech you probably read, he has a certain sympathy with Martin Luther as a person. He did sort of value his good points, that he was really a man searching for Christ. So there's a lot of good things which I think pleased the Lutherans as well.
What did you see? So 17 different addresses. You did a spectacular job. We're talking with Edward Penton, Rome correspondent for the National Catholic Register, who blogged during the Pope's trip to Germany. What would you see as the real highlights of the trip overall?
Well, I think the main one was the Bundestag address. I think that was probably the most impressive speech. I think one of the most impressive of his pontificate. There was also another speech which wasn't billed as being so important, but which is very helpful, especially regarding the new evangelization. He gave an address to, I think it's called the ZDK, which is an acronym for one of the biggest lay organizations in Germany, in the world, in fact. And he spoke about the dangers of relativism and the consequences of relativism in a very clear and concise way. It's worth reading just to really understand just what's going on and the effects of relativism and how important and how urgent the new evangelization is. Then he also gives reasons there why he set up this new pontifical council for new evangelization. And it really was a very interesting speech. And then he wasn't short of criticizing the German church either. I mean, he did say, you know, it's a very rich church in many ways, materially, and it's very well structured. He said it's superbly organized, but he also questioned whether there was that spiritual element to match it. He didn't actually say straight up that it wasn't there, but he did suggest that there was a need for greater faith, as it were, among German Catholics. So that was a very important speech. And I think just generally the highlight would be that he attracted a great deal of warmth from German Catholics and agreed a great reception, one much better than was predicted. I think something like 300 to 350,000 German Catholics came out to meet him from all over the country. Also, there were Catholics from Switzerland and France and even Peru who came to see him. So all in all, it was a lot better than I think certainly the German media were expecting.
Certainly. I want to remind listeners, I'm Tim Drake. You're listening to Register Radio, and we are speaking with Edward Penton, the National Catholic Register's Rome correspondent, about the Pope's trip to Germany last week. One of Pope Benedict XVI's priorities is certainly re-evangelizing Europe, and you just mentioned the speech he gave on new evangelization. You can find that on the Register's website under Edward Penton's blog. He's posted on that from last week. I wondered, Edward, how important was this trip in achieving that end, the re-evangelization of Europe?
Well, I was speaking to some prominent German Catholics before the trip, and they were sort of saying, you know, well, we're never going to really know the effects of this trip and how effective it's been in re-evangelizing until, you know, 10, 20 years down the line at least. So it's difficult to tell, but certainly from the reception he got, which was far better than expected, it did seem to be very, very positive. And there's also talk about a big silent majority in Germany who don't get heard, who do actually have a lot of sympathy for the church, not only Catholics, but Protestants as well. And I think they all came out and were really supporting him. And I think just generally, he has, in a sense, put the church back on the map, I think, for a lot of Germans who thought, you know, with a lot of internal dissent as well within the church, that he might actually be a force for bringing the church together. He did talk a lot about unity and the importance of unity and that one must be humble if one is to be united. And I think these are probably messages which certainly a lot of Germans will be hoping will have sunk in and lead to a re-evangelization of Germany.
Edward, I want to ask one final question. During the trip, was there anything unexpected from your viewpoint? Any surprise?
I think, well, really, just the again, the Bundestag speech, I think, was far better than people were expecting. And again, the reception, especially in Berlin, because it's apparently there's twice as many Muslims there as Christians, so it's an interesting demographic there. Oh. And there was a lot of indifference before he came, but at the same time, there's a lot of warmth, especially also from the officials. Chancellor Merkel and the President, all very warm. They gave a very sensitive and well-judged speeches, really. And so those were all surprises. And also the Pope's health was very good. Father Lombardi, the Vatican spokesman, was very surprised and astonished, he said, at just how extraordinarily well the Pope was holding up throughout those 4 days. He seemed very at ease. He seemed very well. And despite his age, he did cope really very well indeed. So those were probably the main surprises.
Yeah. I want to thank you for being with us today on Register Radio, and also thank you for your fine work with the National Catholic Register. It was great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Tim. Great to be with you.
All right, and when we return here on EWTN and Register Radio, Dan Burke is going to be joining us. You know, usually it's Tim who's asking the questions, but this time Dan is going to ask Tim some questions, and it really relates to a blog that Tim wrote about how the press covered the Holy Father's trip to Germany. And we don't mean the Catholic press. This is Register Radio here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the link for the Register, or call 800-421-3230. That's EWTN.com, then click on the link for the Register on our homepage, or call 800-421-3230.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back to Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, along with Dan Burke and Tim Drake. I'm Tom Price. And Dan, you know, I really love the title of Tim Drake's blog that came out just before the Pope's trip to Germany. How about this for a headline? Press distorts papal trip before it even begins.
Absolutely amazing, isn't
wow.
it? Tim wrote a great post, and he really did a good job of outlining all the different media outlets across the world that were seeking to distort the truth about what's happening in the church, what's going on with the Pope. And the good news for us is that Tim is a seasoned reporter when it comes to following the movements of the Pope through World Youth Day and his visit to the United States and Australia. And so, Tim, why don't you tell us a bit about the hyperbole aimed at the Pope recently? And, you know, when you and I talked behind the scenes, you said it even shocked you how bad the press was this time with all your experience. You've seen and heard it all, but this took you back a bit.
Yeah, it did, Dan. You know, first of all, I was surprised by sort of the level of the consistently negative headlines that were appearing prior to the Pope's trip to Germany. Now, overall, that isn't a surprise because generally when the Pope goes somewhere, whether this happened when he went to Australia for World Youth Day, happened when he went to Spain for World Youth Day this year, the lead up to the trip usually has a fair number of negative headlines. But I think this time I was surprised by the level of the hostility and how many negative ones there were by press around the world. I mean, on the blog post, I quoted Radio Netherlands, Al Jazeera, Canada, British, German, and U.S. news with their headlines. They were consistently saying that the trip was going to be fraught with divisiveness, that he was going to receive an uncertain welcome. There was a German paper that said that a mayor was going to be greeting the Pope with gritted teeth. And I started to wonder, you know, this really doesn't seem like reporting. It seems more like predicting and trying to influence or sway the trip, since the trip hadn't even begun. And you described sort of what I was taken aback by, and that was one headline in particular. That headline said that the Pope was going to be holding Mass in Berlin's Hitler Stadium. And I just thought to myself, you know, this is just an excuse for this particular news agency to try to use the words Pope and Hitler in the same sentence. When I did a little bit more research on that stadium, I found different musical rock bands who had played there, U2 being one of them. And I'm sure that when U2 came to that stadium, there was not a headline that read U2 hold concert in Hitler Stadium. You know, so that to me, I think, just sort of outlined the level of the hostility directed at the Pope. And as I said, not really reporting, but predicting or trying to influence.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I remember when Pope Benedict was elected our Pope, and the uproar was tremendous, and he was being depicted in a very negative way in the press and even in some corners within the church. And then he came out and I think shocked many people with his encyclical on love, which was just absolutely astounding. What do you think is behind all this blatant distortion? I mean, why is it when a Pope reaches out with such grace and love to our Protestant brothers and sisters, to those who are doing good in the world, what is it? What's behind all the hostility?
Well, it's certainly, in the case of this trip, you know, I couldn't help but think of the gospel passage about a prophet not being welcome in his home. But I think surrounding this kind of coverage in general is just the fact that that the press, by and large, doesn't understand and doesn't like Pope Benedict XVI. They don't like the Catholic Church, and they don't like the Church's message. That's I think, what it really boils down to. And just as an example of that, I mean, what you'll find in so much of this coverage is something that I described some years ago as the WOCA mantra. The WOCA stands for women's ordination, contraception, homosexuality, and abortion. And what you'll find in so much of the coverage is the press hammering on these particular issues because they see the church as standing against these things and they want the church to change.
Hey, Tim, you got to give me that acronym again. What was it again? WOCA?
It's called, yes, WOCA, WOCA, WOCA. That's the WOCA mantra.
Wow.
Which is women's ordination, contraception, homosexuality, and abortion.
Amazing.
Fascinating.
I remember being at a World Youth Day, I think this was World Youth Day in Toronto, and watching the press interview young people who had traveled to Toronto, and consistently they would ask them these questions over and over again. They would ask them, what do you think about women's ordination? Do you think women should be ordained? They would ask, you know, do you agree with the church's stand on homosexuality? And over, I would see this. I would see the press covering the church in this way. So I think that is that the press's dislike for the church and the church's teachings that ultimately results in these types of headlines and coverage.
Well, Tim, you've also covered Blessed John Paul II and his travels. Did you see any substantive difference? Is the treatment the same because of the teachings? You know, the teachings of the church are always the same. Or is there a particular animus against this pope?
I think there is a particular animus against this pope. Just in terms of my 12 years of working with the National Catholic Register, I have seen the level of hostility increase. And it's not something that I imagine. It's just something I can clearly see in the coverage. But I can also see that in the comm boxes. On the Register's blog and other blogs, there is a great deal of hatred and animosity out there towards the church, towards the Pope, the things that the church stands for. And, you know, I get a fair number of emails and comments in the comm boxes that never see the light of day because they are so vile. There is just outright hostility and hatred directed at the church, and I think that has definitely increased, at least for over the 12 years that I've been covering the church.
As I've been watching the responses of our readers to us and our posts and our news, a lot of the animus is coming directly from the atheist community. It's become cool to be an atheist these days, and they're not just atheists in the sense of passively saying, well, I don't believe in a God, but they're actually very... you know, they're foaming at the mouth atheists, if you will. They're constantly looking for ways to validate their disbelief, if you will, and to attack the church.
Yeah, and we see the same thing in terms of anytime we cover, as you said, atheism, or anytime we cover homosexuality, you know, we get the same sort of responses. And it's unfortunate, but that's why we exist. That's why we're there, to shine the light on the truth, to shine the light on the church's teachings, you know, and come what may.
Yeah, exactly. You are listening to Register Radio. This is Dan Burke, and we've turned the tables today and are talking with Tim Drake about the secular media's distortion about Pope Benedict and his travels and talks in Germany recently. Tim, how does the coverage this time compare with his visit to Germany? How does it compare with World Youth Day?
Well, I think there was a fair amount of hostility prior to the World Youth Day trip as well, which I did blog about. I would say that the trip to Germany, however, took it a step over and above the Spain trip. There were negative headlines prior to the Pope's trip to Spain. A lot of that dealt with the cost, how much was World Youth Day going to be costing, without much reporting on the facts of how much the Spanish people would actually benefit from all of the travelers in Spain actually spending in their country. I think that figure recently came out, and it was quite a substantial amount. But I think with the trip to Germany, for whatever reason, maybe because the Pope was going back home, and it's not a predominantly Catholic country, I think that the hostility there in the headlines prior to the Pope's trip to Germany certainly was worse than what we saw during his trip to Spain. And certainly we didn't have any headlines comparing or talking about the Pope and Hitler in the same headline. So, yeah, I would say that it definitely was worse this go-round.
It's amazing, having been spent a lot of time around good Protestant friends for years, I've noticed that, you know, whenever somebody said, well, I heard the Catholic Church believes this, or I saw this in the news, I asked them, where'd they get that? And I said, well, why don't we go take a look and dig into this? Because it's just never, the secular news is really just never going to tell the truth about the Church. And as you said, that's what the Register is here for. Our job, our goal, our passion, our mission is to shine the light of the truth, looking through the eyes of the Church on what's happening in the world, and to bring the love of Jesus Christ to as many as we can, to either deepen their relationship with people who know him or to introduce him to those who might be looking from the outside in and wondering what's going on in this organization. So, Tim, we're grateful for all you do for the Register and what you do for the kingdom.
Well, and likewise, Dan, it's a great organization to work for, and the Register stands heads and shoulders above anything else that is available, just in terms of presenting the truth. That's what every journalist says that they are after, right? They want the truth, and
sure.
we have that in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for all of your contributions, and we'll be looking for more of your blogs on ncregister.com. And I personally want to thank you for giving us WOCA. That is a nice shorthand that we can use going forward. It'll save us all a lot of time. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yes, and thank you, Dan and Tom.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, and thank you, Dan Burke, for joining us here. You are the executive director of the National Catholic Register. Always a pleasure to see you here on Radio Mountain.
It's great to be with you, Tom. It's been a real joy.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week on Register Radio. For Tim Drake, Dan Burke, and everybody at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you again next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With your donations to the National Catholic Register, you will play an active role in clarifying the Church's views. Visit ncregister.com and click on the Donate tab or call 205-568-9756.